Welcome to Positive Personal Power with hope, aspiration, and encouragement. Our goal is to build and enhance people's confidence and strength to handle life's challenges. Now, let me introduce you to your host, Nathaniel Skula.
Well, I'm really quite happy today, actually. I've done a few interviews, and Bobby Umar is my last guest today, which is great. And we're going to talk about handling your career transition despite the uncertainty which is going on. And Bobby, it's a real pleasure, and I've seen you on social media. That's kind of how I found you. You're one of the most influential people within my sphere, certainly on Twitter. You are a professional speaker and coach, Inc. 100 top leadership speaker, 5 times TEDx speaker as well, and you're the CEO of Discover Your Personal Brand, which I'm very, very interested in. And yeah, thank you. Welcome to hello. That's great. How old is your daughter?
She's 9.
Super. Mine is turning 9 in a month and a half.
Great.
So that's super. So yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult time right now. We're all kind of stuck at home. We've got multiple pressures coming at us from all angles, right? And you know, hopefully, I'm sure you're going to share some great value with people today on how to kind of deal with this uncertainty. It's tough, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I just did a live stream just last night where I talked to people about the 3 biggest challenges during this whole COVID pandemic, which is, you know, the first one is uncertainty, right? So
yeah,
uncertainty with our jobs, uncertainty with the work we have to do, uncertainty with how do I homeschool my kids, uncertainty with the health of people. I mean, it's just a very difficult time. And the other 2 issues that people are having is the overwhelm factor, which is an overwhelm of information, overwhelm of disinformation, an overwhelm of tasks and things to do, whether it's work or house related or, you know, personal related. And then the 3rd one is just the mental health, you know, managing our mental health and our mindset and our wellness as we're going through this, I think is going to be a huge, huge challenge for us. So all 3 of those things are a big challenge for a lot of people, and we're all going through similar journeys, but also in our own way. And so it's important to understand, first acknowledge that fact, and then, you know, try to find ways to help people cope.
Yeah, I agree completely. I interviewed one of the top psychologists in Australia last night around this very, very subject, and it's very difficult. You know, every day is different. I ran a poll on LinkedIn and I asked people I said, well, what are you feeling right now? You know, and I gave them this choice of these 4 different emotions, and, you know, some people are kind of feeling worried. Some people are feeling excited even, which was an interesting one, very different. I wasn't really expecting so many people to vote excited. Some people voted, let me see, it was excited, what else, confident was another one. Quite a few people were confident, and I was hopeful. A lot of people voted hopeful. I'm hopeful, quietly hopeful, really. And it's just uncharted territory, isn't it? And that's nerve-wracking, isn't it, in it on its own. But
it is.
You know,
I mean, I can tell you that, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years as a professional speaker. And so I can certainly handle some uncertainty. Yeah. I've been let go from jobs many times. I can handle uncertainty. Yeah. I'm a parent. I can handle uncertainty. So yeah. I can be resilient, but I can tell you that this has been something that has definitely thrown me for a loop many times. And I often say, well, you know, I don't usually have bad days, but I have bad hours and I recover quickly, but yeah, it's hard. And but that's another reason why, you know, it's important for us to, you know, have the tools, have the support, have means to try to figure out how can we all navigate through this, whether we're trying to figure out how to reposition or replay or pivot our career, or just even just to change our lifestyle and to change our priorities and values in terms of what's important to us, because we're also questioning our values. And so just from that aspect itself. We are now evolving as people, as communities, as a society to determine what's important to us really long, short-term and long-term. And I think that's a question we all have to ask ourselves.
It does make you take a long, hard look at yourself and what makes you happy, right? And actually, I mean, I used to play a lot when I was a child in the woods and on my own and with my brother and, you know, and so cool. So, you know, I like being alone. I mean, I live on my own. Yeah. My daughter lives with her mother, but I've been sort of doing some schoolwork with her nearly every day on Zoom. And that comes with its own problems. Yeah. Because the children are very worried. They're stressed. And she wrote something about this earlier in a document she shared with me. Yeah. So it's kind of like managing your own problems and your own stress, but then trying to almost encourage other people as best you can, even if you're not feeling your best right all the time. It's a difficult balance to be had, right?
Absolutely. Although I have learned over the years that, you know, a better me is a better everything else. So if I can take care of myself, I'll be a better parent. I'll be a better worker. I'll be a better coach and speaker. So these are things that I, in the overwhelm of COVID, I can tell you that there were times where I forgot this, where I didn't take care of myself. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't taking care of my body. And so, you know, it's something that we have to be mindful of all the time.
Yeah, but it's very different now because, you know, I mean, I used to get up at 5 a.m. every day, got up at 5 a.m. I did 2 hours Tai Chi internal strength training every morning. Yeah, I did that for, I don't know, 8 years. Yeah, I'm still training now. But the problem is that I don't sleep as well. The sleeping has been disrupted. But last night I was so tired, I didn't even hear someone crash into a car outside the front of where I live.
Wow.
Like someone knocked on the door earlier and said, oh, did anyone hear anything? And my window is even slightly open. I didn't even hear that someone had crashed into a car, right? That's how tired I was last night, yeah? So it shows you that all these days of broken sleep and worry, it kind of adds up. And then, you know, you either can't get out of bed for a few days or you kind of struggle to function because you get up anyway and drink coffee and then that doesn't help. And I'm just kind of,
and I'll give you another example story from my first one, which is, you know, I was having trouble sleeping too. You know, I typically have a hard time going to sleep. I'm always thinking about everything. And so it takes me half an hour to fall asleep. And I also noticed our kids were, you know, acting up and acting out and was getting out of control. So we had a family meeting and we just went around the table and talked about our feelings. We talked about how, you know, we were affected and, you know, I shared feelings of guilt for not being able to keep up with parenting or keep up with their schoolwork or keep up with my business or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone shared, my kids, my 11-year-old, my 9-year-old, my wife.
Super.
We did that. And then the other thing I did is we started going out for hikes and walks because we wanted to do more outdoor time. So the last 2-3 weeks doing that. And I can tell you and then I also started doing better health stuff. So I started eating more keto and eating less, no more sugar, less carbs. And I can tell you right now, like the last week, I've been sleeping great.
Super.
It's actually been really good. So, yeah, you know, but it was, and I don't know whether it was the emotions or whether it was the food or maybe a combination of everything about the nature, but doing all those things to take care of ourselves, I think is really, really important.
Well, you know, they say that word is sort of abbreviated word, snafu. Have you heard of that?
Sure.
Situation normal or left up, right? And that's and I suppose we're just getting used to that, right? But I agree with what you're saying about looking after yourself first, because you can't help anybody else if you're not really functioning correctly first. I mean, I spoke to Mike Tobin about this. He's a big supporter of mine over the past few years and co-hosts a few of these episodes with me. And he said something which really rung true to me. He said, you know, on an airplane, when you travel, it says put the oxygen mask on first.
First, right.
Right? Yep. And that's really stuck with me I'm finally starting to be able to help other people now with a bit of encouragement and this show, you know, and trying to help others to not necessarily become successful, but become successful in their own eyes. Yeah. Because it's not necessarily linked to money. It's actually success. The definition of it has changed for me anyway, over the years.
Me too.
You know, I used to think, oh, becoming a multimillionaire, that's what I want to do and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But now I just want to be happy. Like, you know, that's that's kind of where I'm ending up now. I'm just like, well, you know, I enjoy what I do every day. I talk to great people like yourself, and that's wonderful. Yeah. And I get to exercise and eat right, you know, eat right and everything. But it's, I suppose, just helping people, right, to move ahead in their lives. Yeah. And building a personal brand that does that and has a purpose behind it, has a message behind it, is very powerful. Yeah. And it gives you so much more reward. The feeling that you get when you perhaps share a blog and really means something to not only you, but to your audience, is so exciting. It's great. Really great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what I can say from my story is that, you know, I was what I would call a lost leader. You know, I was an engineer. Then I was doing teaching. I was doing performing arts. I was doing brand marketing. And I never really found I fit in, right? I felt kind of lost and stuck in my career. But the moment I dove in my personal brand and kind of identified my top 5 to 10 brand elements and the things that I cared about, my values and interests, I was able to find 3 things from it. One was certainly more alignment with the things that are meaningful to me, that align with who I am and give me more a sense of purpose. I was able to find more focus in my life in terms of clarity and direction around what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately those 2 things led to create more impact, more success and results and legacy. And you know, success that you talked about, you know, I define success based on the amount of fulfillment I create in all aspects of my life. And so fulfillment is what I look for. I try to get fulfillment in all areas of my life, from my work to the people, my family, things like that. But that's what personal brand really helped me do back in the day when I first, you know, dived into it. And it has served me ever since. And then, you know, and then the other thing that's exciting is that once you identify that purpose and that path that's going to get you excited and fulfilling the rest of your life, you want the rest of your life to start right away and you get really excited. And so, you know, I wake up every day knowing what my purpose statement is, what my why statement is, and it fuels me in terms of everything I do for, you know, talking to people like you and talking to my kids and talking to the world. It's really, it fires you up.
Yeah, for sure. And it keeps you focused as well. And I mean, I've seen a lot of people over the years, and I've probably done it myself. Yeah. Like I started off probably being self-employed like 12 years ago and having various jobs in the beginning and, you know, ending up not being able to make any money and going to the job center and getting a parking ticket on my parking outside on my motorcycle in the last recession. I never forget that. Right. I was getting £35.16 a week. Yeah. And I got a parking ticket. It was like 50 quid. Yeah. And the pavement was really wide as well. And I parked right next to the wall, yeah? And this parking attendant was just laughing, yeah? Just I saw them walk off and I was like, argh. But actually it's a cool story to tell, right? So sure. It's about those stories, isn't it, that you tell and the kind of pain and then how that pain gives you empathy for others, compassion for others, yeah, and this kind of thing. And I get that. Your brand reflects that in how you conduct yourself. I think the way I read you as an individual, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And I think sharing stories about the struggle and the challenges throughout everything that I've done, I think, is a great way to, you know, be more relatable, be more authentic. I think people resonate with vulnerability, and I think that's an important thing. Like, you know, no one's perfect. I really don't like brands that position themselves as everything's perfect and hunky-dory and I'm awesome. And, you know, I know parts of me that are awesome. I know what parts where I can be awesome, but I also know that I struggle with certain things. And I think I want to be upfront about that. And some people say, well, why do you do that? Like, why do you make yourself look bad? No, I'm being real, you know, like, I think it's way better to be like that and just show up and show who you are. And stories are a great way to, you know, create relatability.
Oh yeah. 100%. And I just studied a LinkedIn storytelling course the other day. Yeah. It was so hard. It was brutal. Absolutely brutal, this course. Yeah.
Why was it hard?
Well, I sat there for the whole day. I mean, the course was 58 minutes. Yeah. But that was just the course. Yeah. Like you have to do work in between these modules. Yeah. It was the homework. Right. I did it in one day. Yeah. This course.
Wow.
And it killed me. Like on Sunday, I had to look after my daughter for the whole day. And I was just like, Monday, no, nothing's home. No one's home. Yeah. On Monday, really.
and it's funny because people don't want to do the work. Like I have a personal branding course that there's like 25 videos that total like 90 minutes, but it's the homework, right? And the homework is 30 hours.
Yeah.
Give the book a month for this. It's not going to happen overnight.
You can't.
Right? So, you know, people don't want to do the work. And I think, you know, it's like a resume. Whenever you update your resume, it might take you like, you know, 5-10 hours. But it's important because it's an evolving document. And similarly, work on your brand or work on your career or whether you're trying to pivot or transition, whatever you're trying to do, it takes time. It just can't be like, well, I'm going to go this way. No, it takes time and effort. My personal brand experience when I did it back in the day, it was around 3 to 6 months of interviews and talking to people. I did a long version of this thing, kind of a slow burn to figure it out. But after 6 months, I had a much better sense of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do.
It's a crazy process when you go through it. I mean, I went through a personal branding process with one of my old mentors, and he was brutal. Yeah, he was like absolutely brutal. Like, because he's a barrister. Yeah, so he's a lawyer, but also a brand marketing guy who became a barrister. Yeah,
okay,
and there was no bedside manner. It was just like absolutely brutal mentoring for like 2 or 3 years with this guy, right? But those kind of people with the time-honored processes that I'm sure you're using, you know, you talk of the five elements to your brand, exactly the same kind of thing. And you know, there are a lot of people out there that are doing the personal branding, and they're like, yeah, come here, I'll do personal branding, and they don't know what they're doing. And actually, it really annoys me. And I think it takes a lot of time and effort to actually build your personal brand and get the wording right in the first place. And everyone thinks, oh, it's all about a picture, it's all about a logo, and it's all about an image. Well, it's not really. It's about the words before that, as far as I'm aware,
And you know what? Like, the reason why my startup's called Discover Your Personal Brand is because personal brand is broken down into three main areas, which is the discovery piece, which is where you have to dive in and do the work and the analysis, get the feedback and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the next phase is the design. So now we look at your assets and your abilities and what you want to build for yourself and your target objectives, things like that, and strategy. And then there's the delivery of personal brand. But the reason why we focus on this discovery personal brand is because that's the area which everyone doesn't do. They don't take the time to invest in that actual thing. So it becomes a big issue for a lot of people who don't want to commit that time and energy. So that's why discovery is so important.
Yeah, 100%. And what's really funny is when you talk to people, like I went into personal branding, I did a few personal brands and realized I didn't really want to do personal branding for people. Yeah. But I did a few. Yeah. And I remember I helped a chap called John Lawson to do his personal brand. He's like the founder of e-commerce association in the US. And we went through his whole history, and it was so interesting. You know, and it turns out, like, when you go back to people's history, and it's like, oh, I got kicked out of school for being a DJ, and then I went and I studied at night school, worked really hard, and then Accenture hired me, right? And like, But until you talk to these people, that they don't tell you about these things. Yeah. But then it's like, how personal do you want the personal brand to be? I mean, that's always the challenge, isn't it? It's like you almost need a kind of software tool that says, well, okay, over here is friendliness and over here is not friendly. How friendly would you like your personal brand? And then you just push a button and it says, okay, these are the words you need to use. And, you know, it's like, that's kind of where I think it could end up. Yeah, really, in the wording side of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Although again, that's usually what a coach will do to help hone that. But I mean, I think that what's important is that personal is better than anything else. Being personal is, you know, it's more you. It's also if you make it more who you are and authentically who you are personally and about your personal story, then it's less work and effort on your end to be that.
Yeah,
it's very easy to be yourself than to be something you're not. So don't make a brand that's not based on yourself. Make a brand that's based on you. And I think, and people resonate as long as you are related to your stories and doing doing a good job of that.
Yeah, well, I know you've been doing a bit of comedy. And I, can you tell me a bit about that? Like, I'm sure there was something you've been doing some comedy stuff, or am I just, I'm not confused.
Yeah, no,
I know we didn't prep on this, right? So no, like, and you're like, what the hell is he talking to me about this for? Yeah. But like, I'm interested in that because I think I think it's great. Yeah, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, for years I used to perform musical theater and I used to play comedy roles. I became part of a sketch comedy troupe. I also trained with Second City Improvisation. And so I was part of a sketch comedy troupe called Fade to Brown, where we did ethnic based comedy, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it adds to my delivery on stage to be funny and to do jokes and tell stories and make people laugh. But yeah, it was great training because it trained me to be adaptable and to improvise. It trained me to, you know, tell great stories and listen to people, but also to try to find the funny in all things. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And certainly one of my paths was performing arts, but, you know, it never really panned out. But it certainly adds to how I am as a presenter/performer.
Super. But that's totally relevant, right, to our conversation, because if we bring it right back to the personal brand, yeah, we bring it back to the career worries and the stress of perhaps our career change, yeah, it potentially, right? All of those skills that you have learned throughout your entire working life have now ended up exactly where you are at the right time to be able to deliver what you've decided you want to deliver in the way you want to deliver it, right? And they've given you the skills, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, people, if they do the work, again, it's all about doing the work. If you just
I know, man.
Yeah, then you'll be able to get the results that you want, but it's just about people not willing to do the work. But certainly it's benefited me in terms of what I've been doing, and it's great to see when I'm able to help other people find that clarity and that purpose and direction to go on that path. But yeah, but you got to do the work.
Yeah, I've got a friend in North Hollywood, yeah. And right. And he was executive vice president for Wayfarer Entertainment, like, you know, big job, right. Yeah, in the movie world, yeah. He's a big cheese in the movie world, right? I think that's what he is now, actually. Yeah, he is at Wayfarer now, but he was at Lionsgate before then, yeah.
Right.
And interesting, his personal brand has just gone crazy. The past 3 or 4 years, he basically became a preacher, an African-American guy living in Hollywood, became hugely successful, and then became a preacher and helped to build a church, yeah? Right. And he's got like 3 kids, you know, goes to the gym, pumps loads of weights, pumps himself up, and he's just, his personal brand is so freaking cool, yeah? It's absolutely brilliant, right? But that has become like part of his story, and he delivered a sermon when I was in California last year, and his message was do the work, and that would, believe me, that was his message, and came out of that sermon, and whenever anyone talks about doing the work, I'm like, do the work, and it's just sunk into my head, right? I've never been to a gospel church before, but I tell you, it was just like, whoa. Incredible, absolutely incredible. Yeah, mind-blowing.
And you know what's interesting is that, like we said, everyone has a story. You know, I think it's important to incorporate every aspect of your story in your life into your brand. So, like, you know, the person who is a nanotechnologist but also a yoga enthusiast, there are ways to create a brand story around both those things. People say, should I do 2 different brands, 2 different profiles? No, you know what? Talk about all the things you're all about. There's a way to create that story. People understand, like, we have other interest, no matter how diverse they are.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can tell them that you're the cryptocurrency enthusiast that also does yoga, like, hey, that's fine, man. Like, I think it's really great to make it all part of your story, because everything you've done in your life accumulates into your brand, your values, your story. And so if you can incorporate that, then by all means, I think everyone should do that.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of hope out there, really. I think people should be hopeful, but you're right, like, doing the work, there's no substitute for that, yeah. And the problem is that the stress and the worry can make us paralyzed. You can actually just turn around and go, I can't do anything, because your brain has almost gone back to some kind of like caveman kind of mentality of being on the edge, right? So for me, it's a matter of just exercising, trying to eat the right foods, talk to the right people, and try and move in the right direction. Yeah. So I'm just trying to hone my skills around like video making, storytelling, mm-hmm. all the marketing skills that need to improve continually to make you better at marketing yourself and marketing other people, right? So What do you think around that kind of thing?
Well, I'm not clear. What's the question?
Around like, what do people do to like get away from that stress and worry and almost that mentality of they can't take any action because they're so stressed they can't even move kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to understand is that overwhelm is something that, you know, and overwhelm leads to burnout, and both those things are what lead to inaction, right? So when you're overwhelmed and you see, well, these are the 20 things I should be doing. When you think there's a list of, like, say having a list of 20 things, it's even hard to start with the first one because there's just so much stuff in your head. Now, one of the ways you can deal with that, of course, is take that list and break it down into smaller steps or take on three things today. And in fact, just the other day, you know, my daughter was overwhelmed with, she had to watch 41 videos of her teacher and 57 videos of the other teacher. And I was like, and she was kind of overwhelmed. And I said, you know, let's just start with two, one of each.
Yeah,
and see what happened. And then by the end of the day, she'd watched 11. I'm like, okay, it's good.
You know, oh, wow.
Just keep going. So, you know, break it down to those small things. What's that one or two small things you can do today to get you through stuff? The second thing to think about is, you know, asking a support group to talk to people, talk to friends, call a friend, call your mom, and just have conversations about, you know, here's how I'm feeling and feeling overwhelmed. Because I find that we are often too afraid to ask for help, and we're often too overwhelmed to realize that we have this great support network that is there for us if we need it. And so I think that works really, really well. And then I think the third thing, again, goes back to the branding thing, which again is once you have a clear path, purpose, and alignment of who you are and what your purpose is, then you wake up every day knowing here's what I'm going to be doing. So even when I get overwhelmed, I still have a few things that I'm able to do that day to get things done. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know what? When things go bad, like I talked about having dark hours and other people have dark days, just forgive yourself, you know, to later in the day is a new afternoon. Tomorrow's a new day. It's totally fine. We're all going through this. And I think, but we all need to be mindful that, you know, that we can step up and do something else the next day.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really great advice. Really great advice. And obviously if you're really rock bottom, you need to find a professional and speak to a professional. I mean, we've got all sorts of kind of helplines and things like this with the NHS at the moment over here where people can phone up. And so just search on Google and kind of find a professional, right? Because, you know, we can't be giving any advice for depression and stuff like that. But
agreed.
I think what's really important is working out that actually it's normal to be up and down. And that's what's really quite a positive from this situation that I'm taking away is that actually as humans, we're all going up and down all the time, right? Like we might be unhappy one moment and sad the next, right? And happy the next, yeah. But it's like actually the sad moments make you appreciate the happy moments more. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Well, I think that this whole situation is pushing and accelerating the fact that we are now reexamining our lives, and we're seeing things like the amount of time I'm spending in my career and not spending time with my kids is out of whack, and so maybe and my job it doesn't fulfill me even though I'm working from home, so maybe I need to change things. We're looking at our health and our wellness because we're thinking about the science behind, you know, being healthier from food and exercise, but also dealing with the pandemic. So like we're thinking about those things. We're also thinking about the environment because, you know, now that we're not spending as much money, we're not going out as much, we're not traveling as much, the environment is actually doing better. And we're thinking maybe we should change things around this environment. And at the same time, we're also seeing that people are struggling out there and there are, you know, lots of protests around racial injustice. And so,
yeah,
there are bigger things in this world that we need to think about. And so it's really forcing and accelerating the reexamination of our lives across a whole fundamental areas. Yeah. And I think that's a really good positive thing.
Yeah, I agree. And also the digital disruption. I mean, delivering 2 years worth of digital transformation in a matter of 2 months. Yeah.
Right.
It's been just what these people needed. I mean, they sorted out these archaic institutions that actually were just, we don't want to go digital. And they really were just in a lackadaisical mode of slackness. I'm sorry to say that, but that's
no, I agree.
And wrapped up with this rubbish bureaucracy of just ridiculous people that have got no clue whatsoever. Well, sorry, guys. This has made you do something, and it's the best thing that you've done because you're saving people time and effort. You're saving resources. you're saving. I mean, just to talk about the National Health Service in the UK, yeah, they've done an amazing job with that, right? And, you know, people now don't need to go into to the doctor. They can speak into them online, right? And that's just fantastic for everybody, really. You know, but I'm overwhelmed from day to day. I go up and down, you know, depending upon the workload that I have and the people I speak to and stuff. But I think you're right. Talking to mentors or family or friends is so important. Yeah. It really, really is. But also what you said about personal branding. Yeah. I think also it can give you a real self boost for self-esteem. When you look back over your whole life and you look back over your last 5 years, perhaps you might not have even noticed some of the wins that you've had. And when you're forced to put your personal brand together on paper, it almost like, it's like, wow, I remember doing that. And sometimes we don't even celebrate the wins because we're too stressed with our daily lives. Right.
Yeah, and what I'll also say is that, you know, when I take people through my kind of signature process, there's also a feedback mechanism and as well as an online assessment piece. So when you go through that process, you look at the stories of your life, the things that are meaningful to you, and you start to see things that were like, wow, okay, I remember that story from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. But then you get feedback from your network and they will start saying, oh, you know, one of the things I loved about Jill or about Jack is this, this, this. You're like, oh, I didn't realize that. Or I see this as his or her strength. And then you do the online assessment and then you find, oh, these are my three strengths. Okay, yeah, I never thought of myself like really good at that. And what it does is it really empowers you and it motivates you to say, okay, you know, these are things about me that are great and that people appreciate. And that whole process can be extremely empowering because when an online assessment and your own assessment and your feedback from your network all say, Bobby, you're a people guy. Bobby, you're a nurturer. Bobby, you're a performer. That's empowering. It validates, you know, what I am. And so based on that, I was like, well, you know what, let me follow a brand where I can do those three things, which is why I became a speaker. So that type of process of understanding that stuff is really great.
Super. So when you're speaking, do you speak about leadership? Is that what you speak about in corporate leadership?
Well, I originally started talking about leadership and soft skill development and engagement, things like that. But then eventually over the years, I started developing three main topics. One was authentic connection and networking was one. The second one was personal branding. And the third one was social media and digital influence. But I kind of packed them all into one thing, which is what I call thought leadership, right? If you want to become a thought leader and build a thought leader brand around your experience, your expertise, you know, you dive into yourself and connect with yourself with personal branding. You connect with others, which is networking. You connect with the world, which is digital. And that's how you can create impact for yourself as you try to replay or repivot your life.
It's quite exciting, really, how we've all sort of become the media, haven't we? We've sort of, I mean, David Matheson, he's like the author of Be the Media. He wrote this book a few years ago, and he started the CDO Summit and the CDO Group, which is Chief Digital Officer Summit, right? Yeah. And he said that years ago, but also Seth Godin wrote a book, which The Icarus Deception. I don't know if you've read that one, but it talks about how you basically build your audience and you create content for your audience. And then the audience builds towards your content. And that's really quite exciting that you can attract your tribe. I mean, he talks a lot about that. Yeah. And I think that's fun. Right. And that's what's so great about the digital age that we're in. Yeah.
And especially when you start actually, once you've determined your brand and you start putting content out there that's around that brand, you start to attract those people and those followers who love your stuff and they resonate with what you're talking about. And that also further validates and re-empowers you in terms of what you're doing and your purpose. So when I get messages or people who engage me, it's just very validating. It feels great.
Yeah, very much so. It's like a positive momentum that your audience is helping you to sort of build
just
out, right?
Start. There are two parts. One is the positive momentum and empowerment of what you're doing, but also the other one is the feedback and evolution of things. So as people give you more feedback, you start to evolve things. So like, you know, for example, now as we get feedback, I'm starting to get different questions about things. You know, people are not asking as much anymore about how to be a speaker because you know, people aren't speaking as much anymore. Now they're asking more about how do I build a better LinkedIn presence? How do I leverage my brand to transition? And so the questions are changing. So I evolve too with my audience. They're a fantastic crowdsourcing tool.
Yeah, very much so. What I also love to do is to read Amazon reviews. I'm a real geek when it comes to that. So like if I'm going to write a blog, yeah, I like to go to a book that's basically written about that topic. And then I'll go to the Amazon reviews, and then I read the reviews from people who are like complaining about that book, or they're complaining about things that they need to fix and how the book helped them. And then I read all of those, and then that helps me with that as well.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good idea. I never thought about that.
It's been a lot of fun, man. I can't thank you enough for making some time to speak with me. It's been really, really interesting. And so what advice would you sort of give to people who are worried and they need sort of a bit of reassurance right now? You know, they might have lost their whole career. I mean, they might have lost their business. They might have lost everything. Like what would you say?
Well, the first thing I would say is that every single one of you has an experience. You have different experiences. You have stories of your life. And from that, you build a set of skills and aptitudes for which you are known for and that people value and the world will benefit from. So understand that every one of you has that. The second thing is then if you dive in your brand to figure these things out and how you can actually serve the world, you can either, you know, reposition, repivot what you're doing. Because now is a perfect time for you to either build an online presence, because that's the virtual world is here to stay. Or number two, pivot and now start to build an online presence. You know, it's always good to, you know, just get started and build it up. But, you know, this is the chance for you to really reflect on that and start building something that you feel comfortable with, you feel aligned with, and that's going to fulfill you the rest of your life versus continuing on a path that, you know, is not fulfilling or brings a lot of pain and anger and not so much joy afterwards. So this is a chance for you to do it. And there are ways to do it. And personal branding is one way to do it. And I encourage everyone to take the time to invest the time and energy to pivot, to rebuild, reposition, and leverage your brand to take your life and your fulfillment to that next level.
I agree completely. I think from where I'm sitting, I think starting somewhere and thinking, well, you know, the best place to start for me is like, what am I interested in? Like, what are my interests, right? What you know, who do I look up to and say, well, wow, they've got a really cool, or it looks like they've got a really cool career? Because you can't compare yourself, because you don't really know what someone's doing. You don't know, you don't know if they're actually paying the bills or not, right? So, but I think looking at people who are potentially where you may want to end up, or that direction, is definitely a good way to go. And the kind of things you enjoy doing on a day to day. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm enjoying talking to people. I'm enjoying a bit of editing video and these kind of things. So I'm learning about everything that I need to know in order to get other people to do it. Otherwise I have to do all the work all the time myself, which I don't want to do. Yeah. So I think from where I'm sitting, learning how to do all these things yourself, or at least what makes them work, is the basis for growth, right? Because otherwise you've got to have somewhere to start, right? If you're out of work because you lost your business, or your job changed and you can't work right now, like, you've got the perfect time to learn new skills. So it's like, well what makes you tick? Like, what do you enjoy in life? And then have a think about, well, is that job going to exist in say 5 years' time? I mean, that's another thing to consider, right? Before you even build the personal brand, yeah, that's where I'm looking at it, really, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that I think that's a good start, but I also don't want to let people say, well, I'm thinking of, you know, this is something that interests me. Let me just go down this path. You know, I think it's important to do the due diligence to actually do a more thorough analysis of not just your interests, but your values, your skills, your feedback from your network, how people perceive you, and do that work to figure that out. But yeah, absolutely. There, what you can do is see, okay, where do I like to spend my time if I have free time? What do I like to do? Well, I like to edit videos. Okay, well, then maybe there's something there. I like to do photography. I like to rock climb. So how does this work in terms of how it can guide you along the path? And you can still continue to start and do work and put stuff out there and explore those interests while you're still doing the work behind the scenes to build the foundation around your brand. And so a lot of people, I'll say, look, you know, don't worry about building your brand. Like, don't spend your time analyzing to death for 3 months before you launch. You can certainly get out there and put stuff out there and talk to people and engage, and why you're doing the work to build the foundation for what you're trying to put out there.
Very good. I can't say any more to that.
Thanks.
Really, you know. I have got one comment. Just make sure you've got loads of hobbies, because if you're going to go and work and do your hobby as a job, yeah, you need to have lots of other hobbies. Otherwise, you might be working in your hobby, but if you've only got one hobby, you're a bit stuck, aren't you?
Well, it's good to have more than one hobby. Absolutely.
But that happens to some people, though, doesn't it? Like, and then they're like, oh, I love my job, but then it's all they do. Like, there's nothing else in their lives. Do you know what I mean? So,
although, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to counter argue this one, because, I mean, really? If you're saying, if my one hobby was, let's say, I love playing board games. Okay. So if I'm playing board games and I get paid to do that all the time, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Like playing chess, for example, that'd be a lot of fun. But you're right. I think we have to find ways outside of what we do full time for work, even if you love it and it's a lot of fun, to, you know, clear our mind. So, you know, I think what I would say is that there's got to be something that allows you to decompress, to process, to do other things. So I think, you know, if I was a chess player and I played chess all the time, I would still want to go hiking. I still want to do swimming. I still want to do other stuff.
Yeah.
To kind of keep the creative juices flowing. So I understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough. And thanks everyone for listening. And if you want to find Bobby Umar and your course, right, how do they find you, Bobby?
Well, I mean, my company page is called rayallen.com, and the startup for DYPB is called dypb.ca. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or across my social media channels on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, under the handle Rayhan Bobby. And that's where all my information is. And you'll find them everywhere. But those are the places to find me and follow me. And you can learn more about me and my course and my offerings across those channels.
Super. And I'll drop some links into the show notes, which will be on the Positive Personal Power.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Positive Personal Power. Do subscribe via your favorite podcasting app, and please leave us a 5-star review. Or sign up on our website, positivepersonalpower.net, for weekly emails and updates, and do share our episodes with your friends and on social media. Feel free to reach out anytime.